The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to another edition of The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Vick.
And today we are here to continue our trend of trying to help and provide guidance beyond what the normal mainstream media does and utilize our 50 plus years of financial markets experience. Of course, Steve, we've talked about this. He carries most of that experience.
That's it.
At least, what, a few percent more.
Exactly.
50% more than I do?
I don't know. It probably is, yeah, 30 to 20.
Yeah, I think that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we talked quite a bit about just starting to wrap up the year.
It is. This is the last show of the year.
Yeah, this is definitely our last show of the year.
Wow. Can you believe it, John?
It's hard to believe. Another year has flown
2015,
by.
2015, big year next year.
Yeah? Why is it big?
Rugby World Cup in England. Amongst other things.
And we had Soccer World Cup this year, so it's just back to back to back.
And don't forget Cricket World Cup next year. Now that'll excite everyone.
The Olympics
everyone.
The following year. So
no.
We've got.
Oh, and then the Olympics, yeah.
Year after year after year, lots of fun events.
Yeah.
Last week we talked a little bit. Quite a bit about kind of the year that has been, and the fact one of the big things we talked about was these different what would you call them, these different effects, like the January effect.
Yep.
These different indicators that people always talk about and speak as if they're
the trader's almanac.
Yeah, really, like they speak as if it's the gospel. This is what is going to happen,
right?
And last week we discussed the fact that it wasn't the case. Almost none of these things happened the way they were supposed to.
Correct.
Based on what all the experts say. So we want to continue to kind of break down some of the myths surrounding these.
We can be pretty sure that we're going to end up this year in the
positive
stock
for
exchange.
The year. Unless
we've
we
only got, what, 3.5 trading days left.
Yes.
So you've got to.
Two and a half.
Yeah,
two and a half.
So we got to believe we can hold this.
Yes.
What I don't know exactly.
Based on what we saw this past week, I think it's
safe to say.
Here we go, charge ahead. The rally at the end of the year, no one's noticing.
Correct.
Just to
probably make it up 15% for the year.
Right. And make it look like a really big number. And the reality is it was a very difficult year to have a positive return.
I think overall, yeah. I mean, it depends. There's certain sectors within the economy that just, when you look at the oil and gas, I mean, that sector was down 50%.
But if you were anticipating that, you could have been up
huge.
Substantially.
Yeah.
But
no, I know, but I'm just showing you that if you're a long-only person and you scattered your investments around the market, it would have been, you know, not that easy to be up 15%. Oh, you'd really have had to have selected the couple of sectors that ran like crazy.
Well, there were a lot of the international sectors that just did not do well
just got hammered.
At all, and that would be part of a diversified portfolios, you would
Correct.
Want to include some of those pieces.
Which goes back to what we've repeatedly said over and over in this radio show is, okay, let's assume that the S&P ends up the year 15%. Your portfolio, if it's properly diversified and allocated around across the, a good non-correlated group of investments, which will protect you in the bad times, probably shouldn't have come close to 15% overall combined. I hope that your stock portfolio did nicely, but there should be other parts of your portfolio that didn't perform as well. I don't know what housing did this year, but it wasn't up 15%. I mean, San Diego property market, I think, was up like 4 or 5, wasn't it?
I believe so. I have not seen any recent numbers, but it was going upward, but very slowly.
So if you take that as a piece of your portfolio, there you're already a third of what the stock exchange did.
Right. And one of the interesting things, which, again, this is the talking heads, all the experts over and over saying, bonds are going up. We've talked about this over and over.
Yeah.
If you didn't believe them and you invested in the 30-year Treasury, which is considered the riskiest of the stock or
the most
bond
volatile
investments,
right?
You're going to see the most swing. If you did not listen to the experts.
And you bought bonds.
28.9% for the year.
Up.
So if you would have listened to the experts and said rates are going up, you would have lost.
Well, everyone. I mean, beginning of the year, everyone was saying rates have got to go higher, got to go higher, got to go higher.
Well, not everyone.
Not us, actually.
there may have been a couple of us saying, why?
Exactly.
Why do they have to go up? We didn't say they were going to go up like this.
Right.
As far as the return.
And I personally
just question, why do rates have to go up?
Correct. And next year, of course, people are saying, you know, now it's even more of a bubble than it was this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so rates have got to go higher from here. And I'm not certain that they do.
Right. Even if they just flatline.
Yeah.
It's going to be the opposite of what.
Well, you just had Yellen recently come out and say that she was going to keep rates low for an extended period. She didn't change her wording from what I could see. And so that's where the market just took off like a rocket.
Right.
Because everyone is expecting her to say we're going to raise rates soon. But there's still problems in the economy. There's still unemployment issues. The GDP growth is pretty minimal to, well, very lackluster.
Yeah, flat to nothing.
Yeah. And then the biggest problem right now is potentially deflation with this oil price going down, you know, dragging all the prices down. A temporary deflationary environment won't be bad. But with Europe looking weak and Japan looking weak and China looking weak, there's a possibility of them all exporting deflation. And that could be a problem. That could push rates. I mean, in Europe, you've got places in Europe where the two-year note, it's actually negative rate of return.
So you're paying
to own the two-year note. I mean, can you imagine? Here, I'll lend you $10,000 for 2 years, and I'll pay you $200 for that privilege.
Sold. Let's do it. I'm in.
I mean, can you believe it?
Yeah, that's.
I mean, so that just shows you some of the problems that are out there. And when you look at our yield on the 10-year, of 2.25% roughly.
Right,
I
almost
think.
Dead on 2.25.
Yep. That looks pretty juicy.
Right.
When you're thinking that you've got 2 year yields out there at negative numbers.
And these are in economies that are really struggling.
Yeah. That's the part that's really the most amazing thing is that the economies that are struggling, people are just scrambling for yield.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find anything that can make them any return on their safe money. So they investing in crazier and crazier things. I just read an article the other day that said the one thing that's in vogue for investors seeking yield is almond orchards.
Okay.
Yeah, so you go and buy almond orchards, and there you go. They get some yield out of there, hopefully.
But I'm sure there's multiple products that get generated from almonds besides just
the nuts? Oh, yeah, there's almond themselves. Milk and a few other bits and pieces, but yeah, I mean, wow.
Which is probably a growing trend in those things, but I have to believe it's a much smaller limited market than some large scale.
Well, remember back in the 70s, it was all about trees and investing in forests and you could buy and grow your acres of forests. And that was how they tried to extract yield back then. So these types of investments are always coming and going. It's hard to know which is the right one to be in because as any farmer will tell you, you're planting your crop for 4 or 5 years out, particularly in the nuts and that time, the tree business, it's longer. And you hope that the market's still there. I mean, look at the wine growers. And you've got a good story on the wine industry. We can maybe bring that up after the break. But it's the one thing I do want to tease people with before we do go to break is maybe they can all put their thinking caps on is which economy in the globe grew the fastest last year. So when we, you can.
So that's the
GDP
question.
Way, which, GDP growth.
Which economy in the world to which country?
Yeah, which country.
Grew and, the fastest.
Yeah.
Or grew the most?
Grew the fastest. So which country's GDP grew the most in 2014? And that's obviously not the U.S., which grew at about 3%. But, okay.
If you want to believe the numbers.
Exactly.
Well, you are listening to The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170. That's the question there. We'll come back and we'll give you that answer and test everyone's knowledge, see who's following what's going on in the world.
Knowledge.
Yeah. We are here with useless trivia. That's what today is all about. So,
well, it's the end of the year.
Stick around when we come back. We'll talk about more of the year-end things and answer that question Steve just posed. We'll be right back.
KCBQ.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
Welcome back. It is The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And Steve threw a little teaser out there for us. He had the quiz question of the day. Which country's GDP grew the most over the last 12 months? So basically for this year.
For the year, yeah.
See, okay, Todd, you're up. What do you think?
Denmark.
Well, Denmark.
It's nowhere in Europe or anywhere like that. It's
ouch.
I'll tell you number three. Number three was Congo.
Where?
The Congo. And that's in the middle of Africa.
Okay.
Grew 8.6%, followed by Macau.
Macau.
You know where Macau is? It's a little country bolted right up against Hong Kong, where essentially it's the Las Vegas of Asia.
Okay. Yeah, James Bond.
He's been there
a time or two.
Exactly. Yep. So they grew 9%. And leaving everyone in the dust was Papua New Guinea.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's just north of Australia.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
Tiny, they grew it. Dangerous country.
Yes.
Very exactly. Dangerous.
Very, yep. They grew at 14.8%.
Wow, who knew?
Not me.
not Todd.
But the interesting part to this as well in the growth things, and the reason I bring it up is because when you look around the world and they take it and they put it into blocks of almost continents to some degree, but you had North America, which included Mexico and Canada. Mm-hmm. And of course, the U.S. grew at about 3.2%, which wasn't actually bad at all. When you compare that to Western Europe, which grew at 1.4, I mean, that's just literally close to
less than half.
Recession, mm-hmm. Right? Japan was at 1.6. And then on the other side of the equation, you look at Asia as a block, which includes India and China and of course, Papua New Guinea. But they grew up 6%,
wow.
Which just goes to show, I mean, that's twice the growth rate of North America, essentially, and almost four times what Europe and Japan are doing. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for the engine of growth from 2014, it was definitely Asia, and then Africa behind that came in at 4.5%. But I have to say, where your comment earlier, Dan, and I don't know if it was on air or not, about if you trust the numbers, is so true, because in Africa's case in particular, when you look, for example, at Nigeria, they were number three economy in Africa. And then they decided to include a few parts of the economy that weren't included before in their numbers. And suddenly they vaulted to the biggest economy in Africa. Okay. The problem with GDP numbers, particularly in Asia and Africa and places like that, there's so much of the economy that's black market or hidden. I mean, you think right. about Zimbabwe. I mean, at one point, and I don't know what the inflation rate is today, but it was over 1,000,000% a year. And so if you weren't in the black market dealing in dollars, there was just no way you were going to survive, because you think of 1,000,000% inflation a year, that's, 3,000% a day. So in other words, you've got a loaf of bread. By the time you run from your paycheck to get to the loaf of bread, your paycheck already doesn't cover the cost of
right.
the loaf of bread.
Just one loaf of bread.
Yeah, because the price is quadrupled before you even get there in the 2 hours it took you to get to the grocery store.
Wow.
So there's just, I mean, you've got to take a lot of these numbers with tongue in cheek to some degree. But that said, there has to be a gauge that, you know, we use to be able to see what's growing and what's not.
Right. It can and does generally give you a snapshot to give you an idea.
Right.
It's like a rough estimate.
It's a help, yeah.
It's definitely not an exact science when it comes to any government reporting numbers, because they're right. only going to report the numbers that look the most favorable to them, to the leaders,
of course.
Really.
I mean, you think about the country we're in. I mean, it swings votes.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, there's all these types of squirrely numbers that come out. I mean, I remember, you know, pre the last election, things were looking too good, and magically we suddenly got unemployment down below 10% right mm-hmm. before the elections. Remember, just
right.
it's that type of stuff. It's just, you know, come on. But, you know, what can we do? I'm trying to look up and see if they gave them. See, in Zimbabwe, somehow got inflation down to 5.8%, which I find very hard to believe. But anyway.
They were subtracting things that were
yeah, exactly.
negatively impacting that. Was there an election in Zimbabwe recently?
I have a friend of mine who has $100 trillion Zimbabwe dollar.
Nice.
In his wallet. It's
wow.
worth about a cent.
Perfect. He should hold on to that.
He is. I mean, it's a party discussion. I've yeah. got 100 trillion. How much have you got?
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty fun to take that out and throw it on the counter.
Yeah, it is. It's
top this.
Exactly right.
You need that $1 trillion coin.
That's right. That $1 trillion coin actually is worth something. Whereas yeah. it just shows you. You know, inflation, while everyone's struggling around the world supposedly with inflation, it just goes to show. And I mean, you know, we might be making a bit of fun of these things, but the part to the discussion is really that serious, is it shows you what a poor inflationary environment can do.
Mm-hmm.
It can just destroy you. And on the flip side, a deflationary environment can be even more devastating, because your debt is stuck in the sand. You can't actually pay it off because everything's getting cheaper,
Right.
And so it just is another self-imploding problem, which is why humans actually created inflation to try and solve that problem.
Well, and I guess the only snapshot that would kind of put it into real perspective is what we went through in the housing market. That was a total deflationary period for real estate.
Correct.
Because there were tons of people that had this $500,000 loan that moved into the house. Within a year, it was now a $300,000 house, but they still owed $500,000 on it.
Exactly right.
So that was the most real life, fairly recent times where people could kind of understand the impact of deflation. But deflation means everything across the board. So all your groceries, your cars, and everything, that sounds great because everything is getting cheaper. But if that's the case and you want to buy something today, why not just wait a month? Because it's going to be significantly cheaper. It's just like a new electronic device comes out today, and if you buy it today, you're going to pay $2,000 for it. Within a year, you're going to pay $1,000 for that same device because there's new technology waiting to come out that's already developed that they just haven't put out yet.
And the key to what you said earlier was everything gets cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listening to the show, it's probably because you're trying to work out how to maintain wealth or grow wealth. Well, wealth is really the difference between what you owe and what the value of your assets are. So wealth is assets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if all the assets are depreciating, your wealth is shrinking.
Correct.
And that's the main issue. And when people's wealth is shrinking, they shut their wallets and they spend whatever cash they can on paying down their debt, which is exactly why the U.S. is struggling still to get out of that mess we were in back in 2008, is because, and I'm one of those, I'm still rather pay off some debt than my debt's getting close to zero, which is a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to keep doing this for another, I think according to my schedule, I've got 12 more payments left at this rate and then I'm debt free. But why am I going to, I'm not going to start ramping up spending till that's zero.
Right.
And there's thousands of people across the country that are now have this in their brain. Wow, debt really stung last time. Mm-hmm. Let's rather get out of it. And what's happening is there's this transfer of debt that's gone across from the consumer to the governments. And that's why the governments are every month, they're buying more and more and more of the junk that we don't want to have or the banks don't want. And so you've got this crowding out effect, which is also going to be hard to unwind.
It's definitely going to be interesting. And we're
2015 is going to be supremely interesting, I think.
Well, I mean, we probably said the same thing last year around the same time of who knows what's coming in 2014.
Only if you read my blog, you would know.
You know exactly what you were thinking? Yeah, that is true.
And I laugh because my last blog was a little forecast.
Yeah.
But I did it very tongue-in-cheek because
For this coming year?
For 2015, yeah.
Did you look back and see what your last
No good forecast ever does that. No, it's because that's why I said it was a tongue-in-cheek thing, because seriously, I do it just for fun more than anything else, because we all know that whatever I'm basically going to guess at, it's a complete guess.
Right.
And that's what I started the blog with was, okay, I'm going to put my guesses coming for the next 12 months, but as we all know, if you actually believe these and if you actually believe anyone If anyone believes this, then they should rather go to a place where there's a very soft walled cells with people in white jackets.
long sleeve white jackets.
We can't even predict what's going to happen when we leave the studio.
Right.
I mean, we've got a pretty good idea, but we don't know for sure, you know? So if you really think you can guess what's going to happen in the global economy.
I am on record last year.
You are?
Saying exactly what has happened in the... I predicted exactly
everything,
and I'll make the same prediction this year again for next year. The markets
are going to go up or down.
They're either going to go up or down, or they could move sideways.
I don't think sideways. If I'm going to be a gambling man, I'm betting against sideways.
You're betting up or down.
Yeah.
So you've got a 67% chance. I've got a 100% chance being right.
Exactly right. But yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the thing. It's really, you know, you can read all these magazines, and we do. I mean, I do just for fun. But yeah, they're wildly off. I mean, I remember last year's, they were predicting oil was going to be $150 a barrel, and here we are at $50. I mean, you know, it's not even vaguely in the same hemisphere.
Well, the best example was, but actually we probably can hold off and I can talk about this just to show how wrong all the experts are, because the reality is it's something like 80%+ of the time they're dead wrong.
Right.
And so with that kind of odds, if you're following someone's advice, you've only got a 15% to 20% chance of being right.
I will say, though, my book, How to Thrive in the Obama Economy, mm-hmm. and I wrote that 4 or 5 years ago, I said interest rates are going to remain mm-hmm. basically near zero his entire legacy. And here we are.
Right.
I'm still right. And if he messes up in the next 12 months and messes me up. I can't give him any credit for anything.
But okay, well, we're going to continue kind of wrapping up the year. There's a couple important things we're going to cover as far as things you should be doing before the end of the year. We've only got a few days left. So these will be very important things to do to avoid some potential catastrophic tax impacts. So stick around when we come back. This is the Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need LeadCommerce. LeadCommerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. LeadCommerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of LeadCommerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Download your free KCBQ smartphone app. Search KCBQ. Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show, doing our final show of the year, doing a little bit of a recap of what's gone on so far this year, probably anticipating that markets are going to finish the year positive, considering we've only got 2.5 days left. And with that in mind, couple things you really want to make sure you have done before this year runs out. One of the biggest ones, and this can be very...
Costly.
Very costly, yes, that's a good word. And it's a very simple one. It's your required minimum distributions, your ordinary IRA type.
Well, wait a second. You say it's very simple, but who calculates it?
There's a specific formula on how it's calculated, and I can go into that briefly. But the importance of this is if you do not take this mandatory withdrawal from your retirement accounts once you reach the age 70 and a half, it's a 50% penalty.
So if you turn 70 and a half before the end of this year, when does 70 and a half kick in?
Basically, the 70 and a half kicks in the year following the year you reach age 70 and a half.
Okay, so if you turn 70 and a half this year, it doesn't count.
You don't have to. You have to take it before April 1st of next year.
You do?
Yes.
Before April 1?
April 1 of next year.
Wow.
To count for this year. But the issue there is then you would have to take two for next year because you'd take that one before April 1st. You would still have to take one out for next year because that would count towards this year.
Got it.
So
if you're 70 and a half this year, just take it.
Probably. That's not specific advice. It's different for everyone, but it probably makes sense. Maybe if you're in a ultra high tax bracket this year, you're not going to be next year. It could make sense to just push it out into next year before you take it because that is taxable income. However, if you have already turned 70 and a half, say a year ago,
right. You have to
absolutely want to make sure you have taken this money out of your retirement
before
account.
Before the end of the year.
Correct.
So you've got 3 days or something.
Right.
Because you've really only got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Correct. You want that money out.
Otherwise?
50% penalty. So just for round numbers, let's assume you had to take $10,000 out of your retirement account and you did not. Guess what? Even if you do it on January 2nd, the first day the markets are back open, you have to pay 50% of what that amount was. So that would be $5,000. It's just gone and you're not getting back.
But yeah, the government's pretty lenient. They give you that 3 days grace.
Oh, yeah. They're very lenient with that kind of stuff.
I noticed. They're also really good at negotiating an old tax debt down, aren't they? Yeah. They're very helpful with that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So that's a very, very important thing to make sure. And if you have any questions about when you need to take it, if you have just recently turned 70 and a half, you can reach out to us. I will be around all next week in the office. You can email us. You can email Steve at theportfoliodoctors.com.
Don't email me on this one. Email Dan.
Or myself, Dan at theportfoliodoctors.com. Or the better thing, just contact your CPA. If you have a CPA you work with, maybe if they're not in, definitely give me a call. But they are the ones that are they know your taxes very specifically. They'll be able to help you probably.
So what is the calculation?
Well, the formula is you take the balance of all of your retirement assets.
So let's say it's $1 million.
Right. At December 31st of the previous year. So in this case, if you're calculating for a withdrawal you need to take before this year's end, you would look December 31st, 2013.
Yeah.
Whatever the balance was in your retirement account.
Okay. So we're assuming, let's say $100,000.
Okay. Then it's dependent on your age. So it's a changing number each year. And it's the IRS has the tables. It's basically the mortality tables.
Oh, I see.
And they give you a factor. And that factor changes by roughly one every year from the first year you need to start taking it.
With the idea that it's depleted by a certain age or never
depletes? It's the idea that the IRS would love for you to take the last dollars out in the year that you pass away.
Well, wouldn't we all? That would be perfect.
So they have collected every penny of taxes that's due to them. Because that number is changing, it never goes down to just one.
It can't.
It may, but it's probably at 120.
Right.
So unless you live to 120, you're never going to have to empty that account.
Well, that's the thing with the tables, and I don't know if you've ever looked at them much. Mm-hmm. I used to look at them quite a lot when I was doing litigation work.
Mm-hmm.
But the life expectancy, every year you get older, then everything moves because you've got a higher probability of now making it a year longer.
Right. So we're making a significant number of years longer.
Correct.
It's something ridiculous. If you make it to, say, age 65, your chances of now making it to 90 or 100 increase by a huge percent.
What happens if you get to 51?
not as good as if you're 65. That's all I know.
But that's good to know. So take your distribution. make certain you calculate it right, because I'm assuming if you calculate it wrong, then you also
right. You would owe a penalty on the amount you miscalculated. And one of the things people don't grasp fully, there's many times people will have an IRA account at three different locations or IRA accounts with different balances.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS just wants one total amount on the balances of all of those accounts aggregated together. So we'll assume that example you gave. You have $100,000 in three different accounts, so you have $300,000 total.
Mm-hmm.
You do your calculation based on the $300,000.
Got it.
And you can take that withdrawal out of one of the accounts, just two of the accounts, or all three.
Got it.
To add, as long as it adds up to the amount they want, they don't care where it comes from.
Okay.
So you're not trapped and have to take it out of each account. So if you have one asset that's doing really well that you don't want to take any money out of, you don't have to. You can take it out as long as it adds up to be the right amount.
Fair enough.
And again, we'll help out if anyone has questions. Just shoot us an email and we'll get back to you very quickly. Another one that goes by and people tend to not pay attention to is at the end of the year or the beginning of a year, it's a good practice to look and see who the beneficiaries are listed on any type of retirement account or insurance policy, things like that. Just check, because there's been many cases that have been tested in the courts where someone was married, got a divorce, got remarried, and was married for 30 plus years, pass away, and the spouse that they had been married to for these past 30 years is not listed on the beneficiary form on an IRA account that has millions of dollars in it. Guess who is? It's the ex-spouse.
That
from
would make
30
life
years
a
ago.
Little bit tricky, huh? Well, you're dead, so
right, you're dead.
Holy smokes, you're gonna roast in hell for that one,
right? But it's been tested, and the beneficiary form is tested and trued through the courts, and whatever it says goes, typically.
Mm.
So there's a big risk to your current spouse if maybe you have gotten a divorce and been remarried, or just gotten a divorce. You're still single, but maybe you have kids, and now you would prefer that they get the money rather than your ex-spouse.
Mm.
You want to make sure that the beneficiary form lists who you want to have the money if something happens to you today.
Right, right.
And that's very important, because would you really want your ex-wife that you probably haven't spoken with in 30 years to get millions of dollars that are built up in your IRA account versus your spouse that you've been happily married to for the last 30 years? So
I guess safe to say the answer to that would be no.
Correct. I would assume.
Yeah, exactly. That would be very strange if the answer was yes.
You never know. People do these different things. What did we tease a little bit with?
Well, you know, the one thing that we did discuss a little bit and was at one point was industries that had been really jamming, and I brought up the almond industry, which apparently, you know, everyone's drinking almond milk nowadays, and so everyone's trying to now pour money into almond producing trees. But you brought up something interesting over lunch, was the wine industry.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's quite fascinating in these types of businesses where, and the reason I bring this up is because if you're looking down into 2015 and we've done all of our tongue-in-cheek guesses at what the economy and that's going to do, but one thing you can sort of guarantee yourself of is if you invest in yourself, you can make a big impact to your bottom line through higher pay or a better job or maybe start a new business or something like that. And the wine industry is sort of a great example where you brought it up that 90% of wine costs less $10 or less a bottle to make.
Right. There's basically a fixed cost per bottle that it's never going to exceed.
Correct. So even if you're buying Chateau de Neuf Pape, or which you can pick up off the stores for like $300 a bottle, or you're buying, you know, the Plonk that you get around the corner, it's all roughly costing about $10 a bottle to make. And so really, if you think about it, admittedly, there is good wine.
Well, that's at the absolute maximum.
Yeah. So there's good wine and there's bad wine, right? We all know you can have a glass and you have a headache the next morning, or you don't typically. But it just shows you that a lot of what that is marketing. and mm-hmm. branding yourself, right, to be able to charge those types of numbers. And really, the reason I bring it up is because it's a good example of if you earning, your net worth is $100 an hour, but you're only earning 10, and you invest in yourself, and you take yourself to that $100 an hour, it's equivalent, hours in the day are just like the cost of a bottle of wine of right. $10, right? So if you're earning 100 versus 10, you're still working just as hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bill Gates doesn't work any harder than, he doesn't work at all anymore, does he? But I mean, you know, and he's still making hundreds of millions every year. Whereas you and I and everyone else, we've all just got time. And if we can maximize what we earn right. during those hours in the day, and the only way you do that is to invest in yourself. So I would say for me, 2015, if anyone's listening out there, is maybe make that for you the year of I'm going to really grow my brand, right. me.
Your personal brand, which yeah. is yourself.
And everyone will benefit by that. Your friends, your family, everyone's going to benefit. So it's not a selfish thing. It's more just you can benefit everybody around you plus yourself by doing that. Correct. That would be what I would throw out for 2015.
That's a good one. That's something we've talked about on and off is investing in yourself. And
right.
that's one of the best ways to do it. Well, again, if you have questions about some of the things we're talking about, reach out to us. You can email either of us directly. It's steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Or you can just visit our website, theportfoliodoctors.com. Well, stick around. We will wrap this up and hopefully point some people in the right direction for the new year. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
And online at kcbq.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the final show of the year for the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And today, what have we been doing? Just wrapping up the year a little bit more, continuing from last week, and trying to point people in the right direction, giving it some advice here to really, I think what you said is probably the most powerful right there before the break, was if you do anything this year, in the coming year, invest in yourself one way or the other, whether that means getting some additional education that will help you,
right.
Going to your boss and saying, hey, I'd like to make more money. What can I do? And offering to do something over and above what your job role is.
Yeah, I mean, one of the classic ways to go, if you're too concerned to start a business, but you have a good idea and it's similar to or an offshoot for what you work, where you work, go to your boss and say, hey, I've got a proposition. I've actually got an idea to start a business. It's similar to what we do here, but I think it can magnify our sales, and together we can really make something of it and maybe get a buy-in from, so you say, I'll earn XYZ from the increase in revenues associated with this product. And there you go. That's a way to sort of start a business with while still working where you are.
Without
I mean, assuming it's the boss that's amicable and not going to try and you steal your idea and all of that stuff, which, of course, there's plenty of them around. But, you know, as long as you've got someone that's relatively trustworthy and that you're prepared to work with, then that's also an option.
Right. One thing that I have seen a few times now in a few different places I've worked is people with a unique ability to create a new job for themselves and get paid more along the way.
Yeah.
Where me as an outsider, I always kind of question what the heck do these people do? But I watched them do it two or three different times at the same company, and each time they got a little bump in pay as they were creating these new jobs. So they were kind of creating the demand for what they wanted to do with their boss.
Yeah.
And ta-da, there was a new job, getting paid more, and it worked out really well for them.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a possibility. So I would probably agree with you that would be one of the biggest things you could do for yourself in the coming year.
So what's your thought for 2015, sir?
As far as what?
How am I going to make more money?
Just keep doing what you've been
keep
doing.
Keep trucking.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, and jokes aside, I think that 2014, things felt better on the in the business world from my standpoint. Things seemed to loosen up a little bit. Mm-hmm. People were a little bit more open to spending a bit more money. It seemed like businesses grew, not nearly as fast as anyone wanted them to, but there was a little bit of growth. So it did feel a little bit better. I'm hopeful that 2015 can continue to grow, but I think we just have to understand that it's not going to be 06, 07,
right.
I doubt, in 2015. It's going to probably be the continued modest growth, if we're lucky.
Well, one thing that will be an interesting factor is the fact that oil.
Yeah.
Is so low now that now all of a sudden people are having more disposable income because you're not spending as much at the pump. And that could be kind of that final piece that really kickstarts the economy, because all it takes is a little bit of extra money getting pumped into the economy. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Right. No, I agree with you completely. And in fact, you're sort of reiterating a bit of my blog in which I said that this lower price of gasoline and oil is having a way more dramatic impact on people's livelihoods than this $4 trillion that
Correct.
The Fed threw into no place other than the banks that no one saw other than the wealthy few on Wall Street. And so this is the best stimulus that the U.S. could possibly hope for outside of a tax cut.
Right. We know that's not coming.
It's not coming. So this is really, you know, manna from heaven, as it were, in terms of putting money in the people's pockets.
And well, it's been incredible. I drive a truck.
Yeah.
$50 to fill up now, where it used to be 100 sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty substantial.
Huge. Yeah. I mean, and that's just magnify that across the entire country. Mm-hmm. This is a tax or a rebate that applies to everyone other than the poor people who don't own cars. But even, you know, they might have a slight benefit in that there might be slighted cheaper bus tickets coming down the pipe.
Right.
But I mean, it's just filters through everything, because everything that gets delivered uses gas, And so you should, in theory, see some heat coming off big time off the places where inflation is actually taking hold, which is typically the grocery store, because it'll be cheaper to ship the product to the grocery mm-hmm. stores, cheaper to ship packages around the country, cheaper to deliver stuff. And all of that should have an impact on the actual cost of goods at the basics.
At the end, yeah. End retail.
Yeah, the basics.
So like is food the cost of the Big Mac going to go down?
I would expect, yeah. I don't know. I mean, they'll be able to possibly lower the price because you haven't seen any wage growth because unemployment's been so lackluster. So you've really seen minimal wage growth. So there's not a lot other than the raw materials that go into the product to push the price up.
Right.
That hence the reason people are worried about deflation.
Right.
You know, I mean, there could be. Could be getting a Big Mac for 75 cents or whatever. I don't know. What do they cost?
I have no idea.
I'm guessing at a dollar.
I just know we always tease that because it is a truly accurate indicator of
right.
what inflation really is. Throw out the numbers that you hear from the government that gets reported on the media. The cost of the Big Mac, and we've talked about it numerous times over the last year, it's been roughly 5.2% per year since 2007, 2008,
right.
The beginning of the recession.
Big Mac is
$3.99.
Wow, I'm way off. I'm really old. I said a dollar.
I would have bet around $3, but roughly 5%+ per year is what the cost of the Big Mac, and that really factors in fuel costs.
Right.
And agriculture.
Well, you just think about the Big Mac, right? You've got to raise the cattle, then you got to put the cattle on a truck, ship them somewhere. They've got to get slaughtered. You got to put them back on a truck, ship them somewhere else to get processed. Then you got to put them back on a truck and ship it to your McDonald's. So mm-hmm. there's gas all the way around
right.
getting this stuff
anyways,
done.
So we'll see. It looks encouraging going
yeah.
forward. All the numbers, if you want to believe them, are trending in the right direction. So things
Correct.
Look pretty positive coming into the new year.
Let's hope so.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed. Again, I'm going to stand by my prediction. The markets are either going to go up or down or move sideways.
And I'm with mine. I'm just up or down.
you're afraid to walk along the top of that fence,
That's
aren't you?
Right.
Your balance is a little off.
If it ends up exactly where it started the year, then I'll take you out for lunch.
Perfect. Do I get to choose where?
No, Big Mac.
McDonald's. Perfect. Well, thank you again for listening, everyone. We've had a great time over the course of this year bringing what we feel is good, useful information. Have a great New Year's. Be safe out there, and we will talk to you in 2015.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.